Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 2013. This is issue number 336, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey. Our address for the DX Audio Service is 706 Mackenzie Drive, that's spelled M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E, in Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Email address is fvobe@realoldiesradio.com. That's F-V-O-B-B-E. And my phone number is 419-228-6223. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is now $30, and the magazine is now published on CDs. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated, and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. And if you're on the internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal, but subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone's assistance. Well, I hope you'll assist me on this edition of the DX Audio Service. I've been under the weather for about the last 3 weeks or so. Still dealing with an inner ear infection and such, so I'm not doing too good on this edition, but we'll muddle our way through it. Right now, let's switch it over to our Los Angeles Bureau. Here's Dave Alpert with a look at the AM switch.
Welcome to the February 2013 edition of AM Switch, Volume 80, Issues 13 through 17. It's been busy at the FCC, so let's start off, as usual, with call letter changes. 690 WIST New Orleans, Louisiana has changed their calls to WQNO, reflecting the new Catholic owners format. 830 KOTC Memphis, Tennessee changes to WUMY, effective January 18th. The new station on 890 in Olivehurst, California has been assigned KDPP. 890 KLFF, Rio Grande, California changes calls to KIHC. A longtime call on 950 goes away in Philly. WPEN changes to WKDN. This reflects a purchase by Family Radio. 970 KNUU, Paradise, Nevada changes to KNIH. 990 WNTW Somerset, Pennsylvania changes calls to WLLI. 1140 KYDZ North Las Vegas, Nevada changes to KXST. 1150 WLLI Huntington, Pennsylvania changes to WHUN. 1330 KTAE Cameron, Texas is now KTON. KTON recently deleted from 940 kilohertz. The new station on 1340 Bethel Heights, Arkansas has the call KFMD. 1640 KFXY Enid, Oklahoma changes to KOAG. And 1670 WTDY Madison, Wisconsin is now WOZN and has become CBS Sports Radio. Coming on the air, we find 870 KPRM Park Rapids, Minnesota, up in Durenberger country. Their CP for U2, 40,000 watts a day and a kilowatt at night, is now on the air. 950 WXLW, Indianapolis, Indiana. Their construction permit for U4, 5,000 watts a day and 36 watts night, is on. 1000 KCEO, Vista, California. Granted program test authority for a CP with U4, 5 kilowatts day, 900 watts night. 1120 KTXW, Manor, Texas. This CP for a new station applies for license to cover, which indicates to us that it may be on soon. 1190 KDYA in Vallejo, California has applied for license to cover and program test authority for their CP D3, 3,000 watts from a new site. 1260 KBSZ, Apache Junction, Arizona, has applied for a license to cover their construction permit for U1, 4,500 watts day and 50 watts night. 1150 WJBO, Baton Rouge, Louisiana's construction permit, U4, 15,000 watts day, 5 kilowatts night, is now on the air. 1340 WMHZ, Holt, Alabama, the CP for the new station, U1, 1 kilowatt day and night, is on the air. 1400 KRAM in Bernal, Utah, their CP for new station granted program test authority and should be testing soon if they're not already. 1480 WSAR, Fall River, Massachusetts, applies for license to cover their CP for U4, 25,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night. Now that we've told you about stations coming on the air, let's tell you about stations going off the air. 850 WQST, Forest, Mississippi, license canceled, call letters deleted. 940 KTON, Belton, Texas, this station has been silent since December 30th, 2008. The station's FCC license was canceled on June 2nd, 2010 for being silent for more than 1 year. The station was finally deleted from the FCC database December 11th, 2012. The wheels of government turn slowly. 940 KFGI, Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Their license has been canceled and calls deleted as the station surrendered their license to the FCC by a letter dated November 19th. 980 WKOR, Starkville, Mississippi. License canceled, calls deleted. They've been silent for over a year. 1340 WSTV, Steubenville, Ohio. This station has been silent since December 4th, 2011, and voluntarily surrendered its license November 19th. 1490 WEAG, Stark, Florida. License canceled, calls deleted. Station surrendered its license on December 12th. Now, some new station construction permit news. 1120 WKAJ, St. Johnsville, New York. In a lengthy written decision, the FCC revokes its earlier cancellation of this CP, reinstates the call letters, and accepts an application for license to cover. The licensee completed construction of the station about a month after the construction permit expired at the end of 2011, but didn't ask for an extension and didn't really explain the full extenuating circumstances the first time it appealed the cancellation. While the FCC wants permittees to know it will be hard line when it comes to enforcing construction permit deadlines, the extenuating circumstances here were fairly extreme, as in flooding of biblical proportions. So the FCC reluctantly relented. Since everything is built, the station could be on testing soon with U4, 10,000 watts day and 400 watts at night. 1120 KTXW, Manor, Texas, applies to amend their new station construction permit to U4, 5,600 watts day, 155 watts night, adjusting the night pattern and slightly increasing the night power to reflect FCC concerns. Here are some construction permits expired. This is where a station has asked to make changes but didn't get around to doing them. 1380 WMJR, Nicholsville, Tennessee. Their CP for U1, 10,000 watts day and 38 watts night, expired November 27th and is deleted. WMJR remains on the air with U1, 5,000 watts day and 38 watts night. 1450 WJOE, Lake City, Florida. They're a new station and their construction permit expired November 17th. Now the call letters are deleted. The CP remains in the FCC database as it appears to be subject to a petition for reconsideration. Construction permits granted. 540 WETC, Wendell, Zubalon, North Carolina, granted a CP for U4, 10,000 watts day, 500 watts night, to replace a construction permit for the same that expired in August of last year. 860 KARS, Belen, New Mexico, has been granted a CP to move to 840 with U1, 1,800 watts day and 30 watts night. 1130 WEAF, Camden, South Carolina, granted construction permit to move to 1120 with D1, 390 watts day and night, and changing their city of license to St. Stephen, South Carolina. 1260 WWRC, Washington, D.C., granted a construction permit for U4, 35,000 watts day and 5 kilowatts night. 1320 KSCR, Eugene, Oregon, granted a CP for U1, 600 watts day and 40 watts night from a new site, co-located with KKNX 840 and KLZS 1450. 1440 WHDM, McKenzie, Tennessee, has been granted a construction permit for U1, 420 watts day, 91 watts night from a new site. 1460 WQXM, Bartow, Florida, granted a CP for U5, 10,000 watts day and 155 watts night. 1460 WJAK, Jackson, Tennessee, granted their construction permit for U1, 800 watts day and 105 watts night. 1570 WMVX, Beverly, Massachusetts, gets a healthy grant of their construction permit for U1, 50,000 watts day and 85 watts night. 1580 WVKO, Columbus, Ohio, granted a CP for D3, 5,000 watts from a new site. Fred Vobey is waiting to hear this one, as their old site was sort of iffy if you live in Lima, Ohio. 1580 KGAL, Lebanon, Oregon, was also granted a CP for U4, 7,500 watts day and 1,000 watts night. 1590 KTIL, Tillamook, Oregon, granted construction permit to change city of license to Nitartz, Oregon, no change in facilities. 1600 KUSH, Cushing, Oklahoma, granted construction permit for U1, 5,000 watts day and 70 watts at night. Applications filed. 730 WZGV, Cramerton, North Carolina, was licensed for U1, 10,000 watts day and 190 watts night, with a CP for U1, 10,000 watts day and 178 watts night, while moving the night transmitter to a new site. WZGV now applies to amend the construction permit to U1, 10,000 watts day and 185 watts night, moving the entire operation to a brand new site using one of WYFQ 930's towers. 1590 WARV, Warwick, Rhode Island, applies for U4, 8,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night. Applications dismissed. 880 KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, their application for U4, 5,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night, with the city of license change to Friendswood, Texas, has been dismissed. So has the 1040 application in Fowler, California, for a new station with U4, 2,000 watts day and night. Applications accepted for filing. In Canada, an application has been filed for 850 kilohertz with U4, 50,000 watts day and 22,000 watts night, directional with main lobe to the northeast and French sports talk. 870 KPRM, Park Rapids, Minnesota, has a pending application for U2, 40,000 watts day and 1 kilowatt at night, to replace an expired construction permit with the same parameters. It also amends that application to U2, 50,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night. 1450 KIKR, Beaumont, Texas, applies to construct a new tower at virtually the same site, remaining U1, 1,000 watts day and night. This replaces a construction permit that expired on December 9th. 1510 KSPA, Ontario, California, withdraws proposed amendment to longstanding application that would have included 50,000 watts daytime and a change in city of license to Chino, California, with U4, 10,000 watts day and 6,000 night, with no change in city of license. 1550 KXTO, Reno, Nevada, has a pending application for U1, 2,400 watts day, 90 at night, from a new site, and amends that application to U1, 2,400 watts day and 70 watts night. Now, we'll take a look at Special Temporary Authority, or STA. These are where a station operates at other than their licensed parameters. And we start off with sort of an oddity. 560 WNSR, Brentwood, Tennessee, applies to use WCRT FM1 103.9 as a relay station during daytime hours only. WCRT FM1 is a booster station used by WCRT 1160 at night on an STA basis since 1988 due to Cuban interference on 1160, but the frequency is unused during the day. WNSR is operating with an STA with U1, 1,125 watts day and 75 watts night from a temporary long wire antenna, and now applies to use the 103.9 FM facility to relay WNSR during the day when WCRT isn't using it on an STA basis. 570 WMCA New York applies for an STA for U1, 1,250 watts day and night, while waiting for a new transmitter to replace the one destroyed in Hurricane Sandy. Maybe DX Audio Service member Audrey Levine can tell us how their signal has changed in the Big Apple. 620 KTAR Phoenix, Arizona, granted STA to operate with U1 5,000 watts day and 1,250 watts night after the transmission line to one of the towers in the night pattern was cut during fire hydrant repair. 740 KRMG Tulsa, Oklahoma, has applied for STA. KRMG has discovered its night pattern is out of tolerance and will reduce night power until the problem is identified and solved. 860 WOAY, Oak Hill, West Virginia, granted an STA to operate U1, 1,000 watts day and 11 watts night due to transmitter problems. 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, applies for an STA since they're having problems with their night pattern. 1010 KXEN, St. Louis, Missouri, granted STA for U1, 350 watts day and 125 watts night if needed due to antenna work. 1120 KANN, Roy, Utah, applies for STA stating they're operating a backup transmitter with U4, 900 watts day and night due to a fire in the main transmitter. 1160 WMET, Gaithersburg, Maryland, granted an STA to operate with their pattern out of variance. WMET is having a lot of trouble maintaining licensed pattern. 1300 WMTN, Morristown, Tennessee, granted an STA for U1, 1600 watts day, 96 watts night, after a tractor pulling a combine brought down part of the antenna structure on November 24th. 1300 WSYD, Mount Airy, North Carolina, granted an STA to operate night pattern at variance during antenna work. 1330 WEBY, Milton, Florida, granted an STA for U1, 6,250 watts day and 79 watts night due to tower problems, and they're awaiting insurance payments so they can begin to repair fire damage. 1340 WPBR, Lantana, Florida, was granted an STA for lower power. They're licensed for U1, 810 watts day and night, and are currently running at less than half that due to technical problems. 1360 KBYO, Tallulah, Louisiana, granted an STA to operate this formerly silent station, which wants to operate temporarily with D1 200 watts day and night from a temporary site located at the WTJZ 97.5 transmitter. 1380 KTKZ, Sacramento, California, applies for STA. They're having problems with their night pattern. 1410 WMYR, Fort Myers, Florida, applies for STA. They're operating U1, 1250 watts day and night after a lightning strike on one of their three towers. 1440 WVEI, Worcester, Massachusetts, granted STA for U1, 5 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night, as their night pattern is out of whack. 1480 WVOI, Marco Island, Florida, applies for an STA operating U3 500 watts day and night with licensed day pattern after discovering that the day-night pattern switching equipment had failed. 1530 WLWB, New Holstein, Wisconsin, granted an STA to broadcast from a temporary antenna at its construction permit site to prevent license cancellation. WLWB has been silent since December 20th, 2011, while CP work continues. 1560 WLZR, Melbourne, Florida, granted STA for D1, 2,000 watts day and night because of copper theft issues. Silent STAs. This is where a station is going off the air and notifies the FCC so their license doesn't get canceled. These stations include 620 KHNU, Hilo, Hawaii. KHNU has been silent since November 19th after a delivery truck knocked down part of their antenna. 830 KMUL, Farwell, Texas. They've been silent for financial reasons since May 1st and are looking for a buyer. Anyone want a station in Texas? 890 KLFF, Rio Grande, California, has been granted a silent STA. They've been silent since November 1st, but the station returns to the air January 14th, calling itself 890 KIHC. 910 WRFV, Valdosta, Georgia, applying for silent STA. They've been off since December 20th, and they say they'll hopefully return to the air in 30 days. 910 WSRP, Jacksonville, North Carolina, was granted silent STA. They've been off since October 20th for financial reasons. 930 WEZZ, Monroeville, Alabama, applies for silent STA. It was back on November 8th when they fell silent after transmitting briefly to maintain their license. The licensee says it'll return when it completes its construction permit to move to 920 and change the city of license to Brantley. But that construction permit expired on December 24th, so stay tuned. 1230 WXCF, Clifton Forge, Virginia, applies to extend current silent STA due to ongoing needed significant repairs. They've been off since January 18th, 2012, and will lose the license if they're not back on, even temporarily, by January 18th, 2013. Back on the air is 940 KTFS in Texarkana, Texas. Back on with full power as of December 20th. 970 WDCZ, Buffalo, New York, was silent as WNED, but it returned to the air January 1st. 980 KICA, Clovis, New Mexico, has been granted an extension to silent STA. They've been silent for financial reasons since May 1st and are also looking for a buyer to take over the station. 1050 WPQR, Conway, New Hampshire, granted a silent STA. They've been off since October 17th. Why? They cannibalized their transmitter to get WBNC 1340 back on the air. 1060 WHFB, Benton Harbor, Michigan, applies to extend their silent STA. They've been silent since June 1st of last year, and they're still looking for a buyer for the station. 1060 KIPA, Hilo, Hawaii, applies for silent STA. This formerly silent station was put back on the air by the new owner after bankruptcy of the old owner on September 28th, but then went silent again November 20th because they need to find a new programming source that will be economically viable. 1090 KAAY, Little Rock, Arkansas, notifies FCC it went silent January 10th due to transmitter failure. Are they back on? 1120 KLIM, Lyman, Colorado, applied for a silent STA. KLIM has been off since December 6th due to financial difficulties as well as long-term staffing and programming resources. 1160 WQRT, Florence, Kentucky, just across the river from Cincinnati, notifies the FCC that it went QRT January 8th and expects to return to the air on February 1st or so. I like that, or so. 1180 KORL Honolulu, Hawaii applies for silent STA. Coral has been off since December 31st because the station needs a new site and new equipment for which it is preparing a construction permit. 1240 WNRA Eufaula, Alabama resumed operations at full power December 11th. It was silent since January 1st, 2012. 1270 WHGS Hampton, South Carolina is granted a silent STA. They've been silent since October 29th because of equipment failure. 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Michigan. Some of you may remember this station as the old WKNR, Keener 13. This station, now WDTW, applied for a silent STA effective January 1st. NRC member Charles Ray says they actually went dark December 31st, and they are donating the station to new owners. The six towers along I-94 in Dearborn will be dismantled and the land sold for valuable real estate. 1310 KYUL Scott City, Kansas is a silent station that's back on the air. They returned December 15th. 1360 KBYO Tallulah, Louisiana applies for silent STA, resuming operations on January 6th from a temporary site to preserve license. They then went silent again 2 days later, January 8th. WHJC 1360 Matewan, West Virginia applies for a silent STA. They've been off since January 3rd after vandals cut their transmission line. 1370 WBZH Pottstown, Pennsylvania granted a silent STA. They've been off since November 14th. 1380 WNRR in North Augusta, South Carolina was granted a silent STA and been off since December 19th. However, a check of their web stream on December 28th had an ad for Sons of Confederate Veterans and went into the Rusty Humphrey Show. So, what's going on? Are there any members down yonder who can find out? Call the Musings line and let us know. 1450 WKAL in Rome, New York applies to extend their silent STA status as they've been silent since May 7th while the main studio is being rebuilt. WKAL expects to be on the air again in March. 1480 WTKD Mobile, Alabama applies for a silent STA. It's been off since December 12th because of a loss of programming source. 1490 WDUR Durham, North Carolina applies for silent STA after falling silent August 1st for financial reasons. 1500 KDFN Donovan, Missouri applies for silent STA. They've been off since January 6th because the station is, quote, underperforming in the marketplace. 1550 WZRK, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, applies for a silent STA. WZRK has been silent since January 10th to conserve resources pending construction of their CP and move to Illinois in 2013. 1560 WLZR Melbourne, Florida made it back on the air December 18th with an STA, but went silent again January 2nd and has been on the air sporadically with an STA to preserve its license, but the licensee doesn't want to replace the stolen copper from the tower site unless the site is made more secure. And finally, this issue, here's a new category called auxiliary facilities. This is where a station builds a second transmitter site just in case the primary site is compromised or they have to do prolonged work at the main site. Two stations have applied. 850 KOA, Denver, Colorado, applies for auxiliary facilities of U1 10,000 watts day and night from one of KKZN 760's towers. And 1000 WMVP Chicago, Illinois applies for auxiliary facilities of D1 12,000 watts day and night from the WLS 890 transmitter site. so the station can operate during any work that may be done on or at the WMVP towers. Wow, that is a packed AM switch for February. Remember, if you have any news, corrections, or hear stations go on or off the air, you can send that information to us via Fred or by calling the Musings line. I'm Dave Alpert, and I'll see you in another 30 days with another AM switch. Now, up to snowy and cold Minnesota with Mark Durenberger and the Bandscan.
Thank you, Dave. This month, we begin with something called Clear Channel Stories from Boston to Boise in 540 to 1580 by Carl D. Forth, and it appeared in a recent DX News. How much has the AM broadcast band changed for DXers since the 1970s? What can you receive on the Clear Channels? Most DXers heard their first distant signals from a Clear Channel station. Maybe you heard New York, or Pittsburgh, or New Orleans, or maybe Denver, Los Angeles, or Chicago provided that first long-distance thrill. Can you still hear those same broadcasters today? Probably, but it's getting a lot more difficult. As any DXer knows, a clear channel is a frequency that has a few broadcast stations with higher power, often 50,000 watts, and fewer interfering stations, so that broadcasters can be heard at greater distances at night. Some frequencies were set aside for one or two stations in North America as far back as the 1920s. Except for the 1620 to 1700 kHz expanded band, the current AM configuration dates from 1941, when a treaty signed in Havana allocated clear channel frequencies and divided them between the United States, Canada, Mexico, Cuba, and the Bahamas. After the 1941 treaty, and for many years after, many frequencies had only a single station in all of North America. In the 1960s and 70s, most of the clear channels could still be heard in large parts of the country, even as they were being broken up. Additional stations, mostly in the western states, were being located on these frequencies. Later in the 1980s and 1990s, more low-power stations with authority to broadcast at night were added to the clear channels. WLW in Cincinnati was the only North American station on 700 kHz for decades. Now there are more than a dozen stations on this frequency. When radio broadcasting started in the 1920s, stations observed silent night in the evening so listeners could try to hear stations in other cities that were still on the air. DXing was part of everyone's radio experience then. In Chicago, silent night was Monday evening, as my grandfather remembered. 50 years after that, my silent night was Monday morning. Most AM stations still had weekly silent periods in the late 1960s and early 1970s. In 1971, all of the major Chicago stations had weekly silent periods after midnight Sunday, except WLS. And all except WGN were on Monday morning. Most of the big clear channel stations around the country still had that weekly silent period. As I wrote parts of this story, I wondered, when did a particular station's silent period end? That might be a subject for another story. Is there a role for the clear channel stations today? I travel a fair amount, and the clear channels are often the only signals audible in many locations. Regional and local frequencies are a jumble of many signals, even a few miles outside of a town with a big station. I believe that the clear channels still have a role to play in our broadcast spectrum as AM broadcasting approaches its 100th birthday. When Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana and Mississippi in 1995, many stations were knocked off the air or lost power. Clear Channel WWL in New Orleans was able to remain on the air using an emergency generator, and they provided information to thousands of people who were otherwise cut off from any other communication. My interest in the clear channels came from two things: a renewed interest in medium-wave DXing that started with an ultralight log in September 2008, and the writing of an article on the clear channels that was the cover of Popular Communications in October 2010. In the PopCom article, I asked, "Can you hear Cincinnati?" DXers know very well what they can and can't get, and I've added much more detail here. In the early 1970s, silent periods were important, as you'll see from reading these remembrances. Today, a DX opportunity may be created by a station turning its IBOC off. Not quite the same as silent night, but you have to take what you can get. Some frequencies:
540. In the early 1970s, CBK in Regina, Saskatchewan was the strong nighttime dominant station in Chicago. CBK can still be heard, but the channel is mostly covered by WAUK in Jackson, Wisconsin, near Milwaukee, with Spanish language sports. This was WYLO, a 250-watt daytimer in the 70s. KWMT in Fort Dodge, Iowa was also heard in the daytime, and night signals sometimes came from Monroe, Louisiana, and Columbus, Georgia. If you heard Spanish on 540 in the evening, it was likely XEWA in San Luis Potosi, Mexico, not Wisconsin. On 640, CMQ, Radio Liberacion in Havana, Cuba, was the strong dominant on this interesting frequency. KFI in Los Angeles would often fade up in the late evening. In the Midwest, it helped if you had a loop to null Havana. I've not seen reports on KFI east of the Mississippi in a while. A small airplane collided with their tower a few years ago, but... Listeners could also try for a number of interesting Latins, even Newfoundland. I never heard CBN in St. John's, but other Midwestern DXers did. Today, the dominant nighttime signal is still Spanish, but it's WMFN in Zeeland, Michigan, with Mexican programming. You might get WOI in Ames, Iowa, another old-timer, or more recent signals from the Memphis area and suburban Oklahoma City. There are about 20 stations on this frequency in North America today. Continuing my look from Chicago, one of my favorite Clear Channel memories was listening to WSM's broadcasts of the Grand Ole Opry from the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. The Grand Ole Opry moved to Opryland some time ago, but WSM is still the dominant on this frequency. It's hard to believe that they were considering changing WSM to News Talk a few years back. During WSM's Monday morning silent period, listeners could try for KORL in Honolulu, sometimes hard to hear in the Midwest, but sometimes heard, also in the East, at a low level. Stations in Venezuela and Colombia were often heard when WSM was off. There are 15 stations here now. On 660, WNBC was not the strongest New York Clear Channel signal in the early 70s, and recently as WFAN, they were submerged by WSCR's 670 in-band on-channel IBOC digital analog signal, which creates loud noise on adjacent frequencies. In the 1970s, KSKY, a powerful daytimer in Dallas, was the only other station sometimes heard here. Today, more than 20 stations on 660. On 670, local WMAQ in Chicago had their transmitter only a few miles away from where I started DXing. Their silent period was on Monday morning, and a Cuban and sometimes a Venezuelan could be heard at that time. But never much wanted KBOI in Boise. This silent period ended about 1973. After several format changes, this historic call became Sports Talker WSCR. And as I attended a live remote of WSCR's Terry Bornes and Dan Bernstein at a tavern, I was thinking about how AM has survived and in some cases thrived. The transmitter site is in an area that has become built up and the land has become valuable enough to stir rumors about a site relocation. In the early 1970s on 680, CFTR in Toronto and WPTF in Raleigh were the dominants. KNBR in San Francisco could sometimes be heard along with a few others. With WSCR's IBOC off, I can also hear CJLB in Winnipeg sometimes at night. In 2010, I heard KNBR on a small ultralight. It was French and Spanish on 690 with CBC's French language CBF in Montreal, the clear dominant on this Canadian clear. Radio Progresso from Cuba, also strong. Birmingham, Jacksonville, and New Orleans could sometimes be heard at sunset. It was still Montreal on top, but French language CINF until January 2010, when this station went silent. There will be another station here, but for now, WIST in New Orleans will be the new top dog here in English. At 700 in most of North America, you can probably hear the big one, WLW in Cincinnati, but there are about a dozen stations on 700 now. WLW was the only station in North America as late as the early 1970s. Costa Rica, Jamaica, and Guatemala also sometimes heard. On 710, WOR in New York was the dominant signal in the 70s, as I recall. KEEL in Shreveport is sometimes heard here. This frequency was affected by my proximity to WGN's transmitter. One reception of note recently was WAQI, Radio Mambi, from Miami. Today, IBOC proponent WOR can be heard again. The transmitter for Chicago's 720 WGN was only a few miles away from where I lived in the 70s, and I was rarely up for their Tuesday morning silent period. I was too tired from staying up Monday morning. This silent period ended sometime in the mid-1970s, and KDON in Las Vegas and CHTN in Charlottetown were heard much later here, during unscheduled WGN silent periods. WGN turned the IBOC on the first day nighttime authorization was given, and they were one of the first to turn it off. The Mexican 730 clear channel was a fairly good sunset and sunrise frequency, and the station lineup here is very similar to the early 1970s, the dominant XEX in Mexico City in the evenings, with CKAC in Montreal often heard. Today, many of the small daytimers have low nighttime power. I've not heard CKAC in a long time, but they've gone through many format changes and are reported on the air with a French-language road traffic format called Radio Circulacion, which sounds like a Venezuelan shortwave station. At 7:40, CBL in Toronto was the dominant on this Canadian clear when they signed off with their detailed Ontario weather report for dozens of remote outposts every night. There were many targets to try for, including KCBS in San Francisco and CBX in Edmonton. Also, CBNM Marystown, Newfoundland was a target at their sign-on and was heard after years of trying at their 3:30 a.m. Central Time daily sign-on. Today, CFZM is the Ontario station that replaced CBL, and it delivers a stronger signal with the interesting and varied 50s and 60s oldies format. WSB in Atlanta is still the clear dominant today on 750. There were a half dozen others, including WHEB from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that could be heard at sunrise and sunset in the 70s. I never heard KFQD from Alaska during WSB's old Monday morning silent period. There are many more stations here now, about 25 on 750, including a strong daytime semi-local signal from WNDZ in Portage, Indiana, with its multilingual access radio format. 760, Detroit's WJR, still the strongest signal here and can be heard most of the day in Chicago. In the 1970s, we listened to the Tigers play-by-play with Ernie Harwell, one of the all-time greats, and Red Wings broadcasts with Bruce Martin. Today, there are more than 20 stations on this frequency, and signals from Arkansas and Texas can sometimes be heard at sunset, along with Denver, Colorado. WABC in New York, 770, put a strong top 40 signal into Chicago back in the 70s, and KOB, KKOB in Albuquerque could be heard during WABC's Monday morning silent period. WABC and KOB were the only stations on this channel at that time. Now there are more than 20, and this frequency is also covered by IBOC noise from WBBM. WBBM itself on 780 ended their silent period in April 1972. I remember this well because I was trying for Reno's KKOH every Monday morning. WBBM is another of the 50 kilowatters with a transmitter site near where I grew up. Today I often listen to WBBM's all-news format, but I'd like a chance to try for some of the dozen or so stations that have set up shop here on 780. 800 is a Mexican clear, but the 1970s dominants were CKLW in Windsor, Ontario, and PJB all the way down in Bonaire, Netherlands Antilles, just a few miles off the South American coast. Then XELO in Quadras, one of the border blasters, was also heard in the evenings with English programming. This could also be a good sunset and sunrise frequency for U.S. daytime stations. Today, many of the stations on 800 have low-power night operations, but CKLW is the dominant in this part of the country. 810 in Schenectady, one of the Pioneer Clear Channel stations, is still the strong dominant here and is not affected by the few new low-power authorizations. When WGY went off on Monday mornings, you sometimes heard KGO in San Francisco. This was also a surprisingly good sunrise frequency, with many lower-powered targets. A strong Colombian was heard during auroral conditions. Today, the Spanish sometimes heard at sunrise comes from WSYW in Indianapolis. 820 was the frequency where many non-DXers learned about distant reception. Chicago's beautiful music WAIT, a station preferred by my father, was a limited-time broadcaster and signed off at Fort Worth sunset. I bought my HQ-160 from WAIT's chief engineer and amateur operator. The DXing experience came right after WAIT left the air, and a strong signal from WBAP in Fort Worth bombed in on car radios while Chicago commuters were stuck in traffic. Today, this frequency is WCPT, Chicago's progressive talk, day and night. A couple of years ago, they switched frequencies with WAIT, now on 850. And the political announcers had fun explaining that this station was moving to the left. Its news van advises motorists that it doesn't turn right. 830, 830 WCCO in Minneapolis was the dominant with a strong signal, and North Stars Hockey back in the 70s. They and three others, including KIKI in Honolulu, were the only stations on this frequency. Now there are more than 20, but they don't affect WCCO much here in Chicago. There has been a strong Cuban signal here in some years. If you hear Spanish at sunset, it's WFNO in Norco, Louisiana, not Havana. Louisville's 840 WHAS was the strong signal here with not much else heard, not even any Latin American of note. This frequency is typical of the changes of the past 30 years. In the 1970s, there were four stations here, including several small daytimers. Now there are 20, but there's no change at night. It's still all Louisville. One of the first DX signals I ever got was 850 KOA in Denver. KOA still dominant here, with Clayton, Missouri sometimes heard at sunset, then WAIT in Crystal Lake, Illinois signs off. In the 1970s, this frequency produced a variety of interesting catches in special situations, such as unusual sunrise conditions or equipment tests. 860, vive la différence. CJBC in Toronto is one of the more distinctive clear channel voices because it is the strongest French signal remaining on the band. This could be a very good sunrise frequency, no PSAs because it was a Canadian clear, and a so-so sunset channel. It was also possible to hear six Latin American countries here, from Dominican Republic to Panama. When CJBC was off, it was possible to get KONO in San Antonio, or KOAM, now KKOW in Pittsburgh, Kansas, or then XEMO, all the way from Tijuana. KKOW, located in the southeast corner of Kansas, often shows up today at sunrise or sunset. 870 was number one station in my BCBDX logbook, still number one on this frequency, WWL in New Orleans. Hurricane Katrina demonstrated the role the clear channel stations still play. WWL was on the air after the hurricane, using a standby transmitter when many smaller stations in Louisiana and Mississippi were knocked out. WWL is the only 870 station heard here at night in Chicago, but there are more than 20 stations on this spot, some Midwestern broadcasters that can be heard at sunrise and sunset. 880 WCBS in New York still delivers its strong all-news signal as it did in the 1970s. KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska sometimes heard, usually behind WCBS. There are now 25 stations on this frequency, but I haven't heard much else here at night. 890 WLS in Chicago had a long and rich history as the Prairie Farmer station for some 36 years until 1960 when they switched to a top 40 format. They then became one of the country's best-known top 40 stations, with a music format that lasted almost 30 years. I spent many hours listening to WLS and WCFL on a small transistor radio in the 60s and 70s. WLS ended its silent period in 1969 or 1970 before I started DXing, and has rarely been heard off the air since. They were also the only big clear channel transmitter that wasn't near where I grew up in the western suburbs. Their transmitter is located far to the south in Will County near today's Interstate 80, supposedly because of a dispute many years ago between the station owners and Cook County officials. What's that? It's from Fred. Mark, you're running out of time. Running out of time. Wrap it up, Mark. Go away. Stop. Okay, fine. We'll push stop right here and save the rest for next month. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll finish this project in 30 days. If you haven't yet done so, please be sure to register early for the combined convention the first weekend in August. We want you to be there to share in this historic opportunity to meet and greet fellow DXers from other clubs who share our hobby. Until we meet you in August or see you here next month, good listening, DXers.
National Radio Club. Thanks, Mark. Now that we're on CD, this is a good time to review some of the guidelines for the DX audio service. And we're only going to read this once per year unless there's a need to restate some of these because some folks have forgotten. These guidelines are rooted in the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service bylaws, so we need to follow them explicitly. And sticking to the guidelines makes things less aggravating for you when you're dealing with a monthly issue that doesn't arrive on time or in good condition. Now, I'll try to keep the rules simple, and I thank you in advance for recognizing and following them. Number one, if your DX Audio Service is late, your only call should be to me at the number that I mentioned at the top of the program. Calling anyone else will not work. Let me know directly, but don't call unless your issue has not arrived by the 30th of the month. It doesn't work to call any earlier. Wait till the 30th. I appreciate that you're eager to get your copy, but we need to give the post office some time to deliver. In months where we have had the time to put the show out earlier, I do so. But please don't expect that each and every month. The due date is the 30th of the month. We can't handle calls about overdue CDs until that date. Number two, if your CD is lost in the mail and never arrives, call us after the 30th of the month. We'll send you a replacement. Each member is entitled to one such no-charge lost CD replacement per year. Number three, if your CD is inoperable or damaged in the mail, return it immediately so we can replace it at no charge. Without your damaged CD, we cannot send you a replacement and you have to buy a copy. Now here's a hint to make this a little easier. One member simply writes on his package, "Damaged by the post office, please return to sender." Number four, back issues, which are two discs or 1 month of the DX audio service, are $4. A single disc replacement is $3. Those prices are postpaid to the United States and Canada. Number five, when you call, speak only for yourself. Do not bother giving us names of other members who are having problems or tell us tales of woe. Those members need to call us for themselves. We'll not be able to respond to any call made on behalf of other members. Number six, it's been a long-standing policy of the DX Audio Service to protect the privacy of our members. Please don't ask us for contact information for other members. If you need to reach someone, just jump on the Musings line and ask them publicly to contact you and leave your information. But we cannot give out names, addresses, phone numbers, or email addresses of anyone who is a member of the club. Number seven, for some time we've been using other contact information because of unexpected server problems and mail problems. But now that's all straightened out as far as I can tell. And all contact and correspondence should be made directly to me here in Lima at the address and the phone number that I post at the start of each DX audio service. I ask that you please honor this guideline. Contacting anyone else about DX audio service questions, such as the board of directors or another editor, simply slows down any response that you hope to get. Call me here at the DX Audio Service or send a card or a letter. That makes it a lot easier. And finally, number eight, it goes without saying, but as long as we're in the reminder mode, when you do call, please leave your name and telephone number. Sometimes I retrieve messages when I don't have the database handy, so leaving your contact information, even though you might think I already know it, will speed up the response. And you will get a response, though it might not be as prompt as you hope. Keep in mind, I'm the National Engineering Director for a group of TV stations, and I'm often out on the road. But when I return, I'll get your message. And when you leave a message, Please speak slowly and very clearly so I can understand it over your cell phone and digital answering machine. Leave your name, perhaps your address, your telephone number, and if you're looking for a real quick response, your email address. I'll get back with you as soon as possible, but please be patient.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2.
XHB.